Hi, and thank you for dancing with me in the discomfort zone. Every once in a while, I wonder, like, why would somebody choose to come on to a podcast like that makes you uncomfortable? So thank you for listening. Again, we are trying to make the uncomfortable more comfortable, so we're more likely to embrace it, more likely to move forward in those areas where embracing the discomfort actually moves us forward. And one of the big things, especially these days, that really trips us up is negative work cultures. Having a positive workplace is super important. And this week's guest, Mary Checkinacy, is committed to helping managers create a positive workplace where people feel valued, where they can thrive, and thus can do their best work to make the manager look good, to make the company successful, etc. So this is especially important, and we've talked about it a couple times in the past, but it's especially important right now when there are more jobs than people. It is important that we're doing everything we can as leaders in our organizations, and not even like as managers, but just people who are doing good things within our organizations. It's really important to create that positive culture. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for doing what you can to create a positive culture. And without further ado, here's Mary. All right, we are dancing in the discomfort zone today with Mary Checkinacy. How are you, Mary?
I am absolutely fantastic, Anne. Thank you.
And you're in the Detroit area, is that right?
That is correct.
Great. And you specialize in helping managers create positive workplaces. And we've all worked in a place where we've got toxic managers, toxic culture, and it's awful. I've left really, really cool jobs because it was a negative work environment. So how did you end up getting into this?
It's kind of an unusual story, to be honest with you, because the work that I present is all based on research. So it is backed, most of it backed by the Center for Positive Organizations at the University of Michigan. About 17 years ago, I was on a university-wide committee with Professor Jane Dutton. She's one of the co-founders of the center. And long story short, she presented her research to us and to our managers. And I looked at her and I said, this material is not just for MBA students and those attending executive education programs. This is for everybody. And her work is about making what she calls high quality connections, connections between people marked by mutual regard, trust, and respectful engagement. And it's like, yes, yes, we need this everywhere. It's not, you know, just for the classroom. And she never thought of her work being disseminated that way. So at first I videotaped her and took clips of her and played those, but eventually it morphed into me presenting her work. She gave me her full blessing. And now what I do is not just her work, but others in the area of what they call positive organizational scholarship. And I take it to from theory to practice. How do you apply this in the workforce? You know, how do you make a high quality connection with someone? So you walk down the hall, do you stick your head down or do you look up and smile at somebody? It's amazing how physiologically that can change your body and theirs for the rest of the day. So it's, yes. And so starting from there, then I've just gone on to other topics as well as high quality connections, but they're all related in the scope of trying to create positive businesses where employees are valued and can thrive.
I love it. And why is that important? You know, I mean, we didn't think about the employees thriving in the past. We thought about the bottom line. We thought about our business thriving, you know, and making the customer happy. Why is it important to make sure that the employees are thriving and connecting and feeling good about what they're doing?
All right. So I'm going to tell you some research statistics because this is so impactful. A professor by the name of Dacher Keltner from California did a study on the productivity of employees. And so he found out when they were recognized, given positive feedback for something they did, something they accomplished, right? Productivity went up by 23%. Most managers, organizations would be very happy with increased productivity because that'll increase the bottom line.
Right.
Okay. But he took it one step further. If people are valued for just being people, not what they can do, but just that they are human and they are valued just as a person, productivity went up 43%. So if you treat employees like they're valuable, you treat employees like they are people, more as a human being, then you're going to get more out of them. They're going to be more loyal and they're going to have more job satisfaction and they're going to be more engaged and all of these measures that managers, directors, organizations are all looking for.
Yeah, totally. And I love that you're taking this all back to research because I know this in my heart and I know this as a human. But when we go to look at actual data, it's kind of like, oh, well, cool. It's not just, you know, us being nice to each other. You know, I imagine you get some people, maybe they've been in the workforce for a long time. They grew up in the workforce in a very different managerial philosophy. How do you respond when people are like, oh, all kids these days are too into, you know, too sensitive. They, you know, why everybody gets a trophy. How do you respond? Because that's always the sticking point that comes up, right? And how do you respond to that?
Well, it's, again, they're people. You know, you need to remember that they may have a different mindset from you, but you employ the same things that you do when you're employing anybody else. It's like they're human. Find out what their strengths are. What are they good at? How could you get them to do more of what they're really good at instead of focusing on what maybe they're not? Because they're going to be more engaged if they're able to do what they're happy about doing or what they excel at. It doesn't mean that other things that we're not good at don't have to be done. But if we give them more opportunities to do, you know, maybe they're good at writing. Maybe they can write a proposal. Maybe they can help with a team project that needs to be put into some type of a proposal. I mean, it's just maybe they have computer skills that other people in the department don't have. It's where can they make the most impact? That's what you, to me, if you focus on that, then you're going to get the engagement you want. You're going to be able to help them see and succeed at what they're good at.
I love it. Yeah. And it's not generational either. Yes, this works better with people who are younger to the workforce because they feel like the work they do matters, but this works with everyone.
Yes. One key piece of statistic that I think is really, really important, and it doesn't matter who you're talking with, okay? The work of Barb Fredrickson, she's worked on positive emotions for more than 20 years. And she says convincingly that in individuals, dyads, pairs, or groups, it takes a minimum of 3 positive statements for every 1 negative statement to be in what she calls a flourishing dynamic, but what I call a workplace where you can do your best and be your best. Mm-hmm. It's closer to 5-1, but that scares people because they're not used to looking at, I have to say 3 good things to somebody before I tell them something they need to change or do differently. And it's like, yes. And it's not just during the performance review. This is all the time. The more feedback you provide, the more often you provide it, the better. This whole idea of, you know, well, we'll wait till the, you know, review comes around and tell you 6 months ago you did this and it shouldn't have been done that way is, I mean, that does no one any service.
Well, and as we think about, and I used to be a special needs teacher, I could taught kids with behavioral disorders, and we were working under the same principle of these kids here, no, bad, stop, don't, bad, don't, stop, you know, all the time. And, you know, finding those things that they're good at, finding the things that they do well. And it doesn't have to be like this big party. It can be, wow, Mary, thanks so much for that report. Boom. That's a positive. Or, oh, great idea, Mary. Let's write that down. Boom. That's a positive, right? So it's these genuine little in the moment things. It right. doesn't have to be this giant manufactured thing.
No. It's remembering to say thank you for the ordinary, not just thank you for the extraordinary.
And like you said, not waiting for the time that we are scheduled to tell you the feedback, but having it be ongoing conversation 365 days a year. Maybe not. Leave them alone on the weekends. But like all the time we're working together, providing that feedback. And again, that's where going back to what you said about the high quality connections, that's where that trust and respect is genuinely foundational. So that when I say, hey, Mary, I noticed you weren't late. You weren't on time for that meeting today. And I think that really may have impacted the way the client felt about us. Make sure you get there on time. And Mary's going to be more like, oh, you know what? And you're right. And she sees it as the opportunity to improve, the opportunity to be stronger rather than Anne attacking me.
Right. And not only what happened, did something come up, or, you know, were your sick, your kids sick, you know, you're never late, you know? So it's also remembering to include that human part in it. You know, yeah, sometimes it's traffic. Sometimes it's an accident. There are always things that are out of our control, but keeping the person informed, you know, keeping your supervisor, look, I'm running late. I'm sorry. I'll be there as soon as I can. This is what's going on.
Yeah.
And you know, and then it's, yeah, okay, could next time, could you just plan on leaving a little bit earlier so that if you do run into issues and we're meeting with a new client, we can both be here before they arrive, either on Zoom or in person or whatever.
Right. And in those situations where Mary was just stuck at her desk and she just happened to get lost in writing an email, and she was like, oh, crap, I got to get the meeting. She's more likely to take responsibility for that, knowing that I'm not going to freak out.
No.
Knowing that we have that foundation of respect and that I am on her side. She's more likely to say, oh, Anne, you know what? I'm so sorry. I just totally got locked up in an email, and I should, next time I'll make sure I set the timer, whatever. And it's easy, right? But again, there she's not running HR and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I mean, but that's what we're talking about here. You know, so many managers are so afraid that their team's going to run to HR, that they're going to get defensive, that they're going to deny, that they're going to lie. But if we have that foundational basis of high quality connection, they don't need to protect themselves, quote unquote, that way.
No,
you know what, Mary, you're right. I'm so sorry. I'll totally get there on time next time.
Yes. It's more like their relationship changes, because it's, yes, there's hierarchy, but it's respected hierarchy. And the, I heard of a young manager at a hotel, a conference hotel, And he did something that I thought was so amazing. One of his employees, he was the front desk supervisor, told someone that they didn't have the status to have late checkout. And the customer was like, I do, you know, I have platinum status or whatever it is. And the, you know, person at the front desk said, I'm sorry, we don't have availability for you to do that today. And the manager came around and said, yes, I understand your request, sir, but unfortunately, we do not have availability. It's based upon availability, and we don't have availability today. You know, we're sorry, whatever, but The point of this is they didn't put the employee down. They took the employee and said, okay, so tell me your thoughts about this. And the employee said, well, they're this status, and so they're only entitled to this. So the manager brought them back to the wherever the board is that explains and said, he did qualify for this, but next time you'll know. And the employee was, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And the manager was, look, it's based on availability. We told him we didn't have availability. It's fine. This is an opportunity for you to know.
Well, and this is the difference, right? They backed up the employee in front of the customer, making the customer feel like this is one team running this hotel and not stealing the dignity of the employee. And then took the opportunity separate away from the situation to say, you know what? He was right. He did have it, but I get what you're saying. And we did the right thing. Next time, you know, different. And here we go. And and it was not taking the dignity of that employee in that moment and saying, oh, no, I'm the manager. I'm going to go ahead and fix this, make you look stupid and bad. Right. I'm going to present our united front, support you as the intelligent, well-intentioned professional that you are. Right. And we can talk about it separately and do better next time.
Right. And it's not that, you know, the customer isn't always right. It's just that in there are situations where there just isn't availability for a super late checkout. And I'm not sure if they offered him extra points or, you know what I mean, for the inconvenience for him. But nonetheless, it's in this particular situation, we're talking about the employee, because more times than not, you're right, that's what happens. The employee gets put down in front of other people. And I mean, how is someone going to be their best when they're always worried about being chastised or put down?
Guessed. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you one other thing about this manager. He's 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
His employees are all older than him, but he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get recognized or he gets recognized for his staff, he passes it down to his staff. I mean, I was just astonished when I heard this story, but that's the right kind of manager. And he's in the youngest generation working today.
He's Gen Z. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. So it is possible. It doesn't matter the age or the generation. It's treating people as people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And assuming that they are well-intentioned, intelligent, mature professionals, just yes. like you.
Yes. Yes. And it's sometimes giving somebody the benefit of the doubt. Don't be so quick to jump down their throats. You know, maybe somebody doesn't really know. And this is a teaching opportunity.
Right.
No.
Or yes. maybe there's logic that you didn't think of and you're like, oh crap, you're right. You're right. You know, and okay, let's talk about this. I love it. So what other things do you work with people on to create those authentic, high quality connections?
There are many things, of course, like building trust is absolutely imperative and one of the hardest things in the workplace to do, but it requires you to be vulnerable. And most of us don't want to be vulnerable. So it's if you want to build trust, you have to put yourself out there. Maybe it's just sharing a personal story with your staff and having them see, oh my gosh, you know, they're
a person too.
They're kids too. You know? Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's being able to do things like that. Another story that's told by Professor Kim Cameron, one of Professor Dutton's colleagues and co-founders of the Center for Positive Organizations. He tells a story about a dad whose child brought home a report card and it had 5 A's and 1 D. And the father said, oh my gosh, you got an A in math? That's fantastic. I bet you do all the homework. Sure do. Bet you listen in class. Oh yeah, the teacher is amazing. And I bet you volunteer answers. Mm-hmm, sure do. That is so terrific. So tell me about your history class. Oh, the teacher just doesn't know what they're talking about. And they put us all to sleep. Oh, and Do you do the homework in that class?
Nah. Don't volunteer, nothing.
Well, being that I can see what you do in math and how it's paid off to you, I would like to challenge you for the next 2 weeks. Would you do the same thing in history that you do in math? I understand the teacher is not as engaging, but just apply yourself the same way and see what result you get. Well, he had a test after that two-week period and got a B minus on the test. So it was a way to show the student, you know, there are times when we may not like the situation, but we still have a responsibility to apply ourselves. And he didn't, the father did not come down on the child on, you got a D in history. It's a D in history. You know, it's just the approach. When you're trying to create not just high quality connections, but positive workplaces, okay? The first part of my book actually is about forging a positive workplace. And there's three chapters on three topics that you almost never hear of in the workplace: compassion, forgiveness, and gratitude. Those are key factors, and the research behind all of them is so significant that it makes not just a difference, but it changes the culture. When you know your manager cares about you, cares about your life.
As a person.
As a person, and not just what you can do, then they are more apt to get the best out of that person. You know, as opposed to them working out of fear, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people, when they talk about change, often talk about fear, fear of the unknown, fear of extra work, fear of whatever. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I try to tell people that incremental changes can make a difference. Kim Cameron has this other story that I love. He talks about taking a round the world trip. You leave from Detroit Metropolitan Airport and you're off by 1 degree. You land in Atlanta or north of Toronto. 1 degree. So 1 degree of change. Implement one small positive change and just see the difference that it makes.
Yeah. Well, and this is such an important point when you're thinking about some of these interpersonal things and creating these connections, because so often we think, oh my God, we have to totally change the way we do everything. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is if we just take one little thing, we try to give one more positive feedback a day. That's all. That little change changes our vacation destination.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to tell you one other story too. And it's about, it was a flight I took. I was at a conference. I was in Augusta and flying to Atlanta and then home to Detroit. And we got on the plane and, you know, they're going through the whole rundown. The doors have been closed. Make sure you check your devices that they're in airplane mode. I can't find my cell phone. And I'm panicking. And I asked the flight attendant to come and she said, give me your number. I gave her my number and we couldn't hear it ringing anywhere. She tried to call. And I said, oh my gosh, I know where it is. Augusta has a very small airport and there was a post right by the gateway and I had plugged my phone in there to charge. But the doors had already been closed. Mm-hmm. She went to the captain and the captain opened the doors and they got my phone. That in and of itself is a remarkable story, but there's much more to that. I had a gift card on me. So on my way out, I gave it to the flight attendant. I said, this is so little, but for you and the captain, have a cup of coffee on me.
Thank you.
I got home. I went to bed because it was a late time that I got home. 1:30 in the morning, the phone rings. My mom was in a home up north. She had Alzheimer's and she had fallen and they were taking her to the hospital and they wanted to tell me. she hurt her hip. I said, okay, all right. So I knew the hospital was less than a mile away from where she lived. And it was like, they'll tell me if there's something that I need to know. So, you know, I had just gotten home, just gotten to sleep, and I needed to get some more sleep. So I went back to sleep. At 4:30, the phone rings again. It's the hospital saying, your mom broke her hip. We're operating between 10 and 11 this morning. And I said, okay, I just got off a flight. I need 2 hours more of sleep before I can drive up there, but I'm going to get there as soon as I can. And I got there about 10:30, and they'd already taken mom back, and I was so upset. But she was just in the prep room, so they let me go back, and she could see me then. And she goes, oh, Mary, I hurt. I know, Mom. I know you do. The reason I'm telling you this story is that, you know, a lot of things happened in the next few days. Mom had the surgery. She became non-responded at one point. If I didn't have my cell phone, I couldn't have been in touch with my family to let them know what was going on. So a few days later, when things had calmed down a bit, I got on Delta's website. Whoops, shouldn't have said the name of the...
They're my favorite too. It's okay.
All right. Anyhow, and I went to where it says complaints, compliments. Mm-hmm. And so I went in there. I had, you know, the flight numbers. I knew what I needed to say. And I said, I want their managers to know what they did
right
to help me, and subsequently what difference it made in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be recognized for this.
Yeah.
And within 48 hours, I got a notification that their supervisors would know what they did.
Nice.
It's taking the time to thank people. This was extraordinary, absolutely. But nonetheless, it's still the fact they did something they didn't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I benefited from their generosity and will never forget how grateful I am.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I shared the story.
And it's taking a minute to think about the human aspect of any situation at work, at, you know, wherever, and thinking about what is the human aspect here. And yes, we need to think about all the humans on the plane and this particular situation. We open a door, we run out, we get it, we come back and close the door, we go. Takes two more minutes. And this is a significant thing for this one human being.
Yeah.
And it's just having that thought rather than, no, we have a plan.
Yeah.
It's that compassion that you talked about.
And yes, the compassion, being flexible, that there are times when it's okay. I'm not saying that every flight should do this, but in this particular case, it was a small airport, you know, a small plane. They didn't have to do it.
Right.
But the captain did.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love it. Well, and creating those, and obviously the supervisor of that flight attendant or whoever managed those people empowered them and made them feel like you can do this. This is a moment where you get to make that decision and you can make that difference for that person in that moment. Obviously, they had a good relationship. Otherwise, that person would have been like, no, it's against regulation. I'm sorry, we can't. You're done. Bye. Sorry about your phone. Hope you didn't like that phone case. Yeah, totally.
Right.
And that goes back to creating that positive environment where people can situationally decide, can I be flexible here? Am I safe to do this? You know, even if their supervisor was like, okay, yeah, don't do that again. But that person saying, hey, it was right out the door. It took us 2 minutes. We did it for her. It made a huge difference. And probably the supervisor saying, good job. That made a big difference for that human. And that's then flight attendant feels better about her job. It's going to make people feel better on those days where she feels like crap.
Yeah.
And is more likely to show up and do her job in a really good way.
Absolutely. You were asking about high quality connections a couple of minutes ago. One of the key things is the importance of listening. So many times people don't get to finish their sentences or they're not heard, especially if they're quiet and they're not given the opportunity. I think sometimes we need to step back. Remember, Extroverts love to, most of us anyhow, like to talk things through as we're talking, but introverts want to process it before they speak. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to make sure that we always include everybody when we're making decisions about things or deciding on a way to resolve a project, that we need everybody's feedback. There have been times when we've been in meetings where people are on their phone and not paying attention to the meeting. And it's like, you know, let's set a norm for this particular group that I promise this meeting will not go more than 45 minutes. Can we put our phones in the basket and all participate? We need everybody's expertise to make this project work. It's coming up with a solution that is going to be, I know we're all on our phones. I know we're, you know, connected to them in more ways than maybe we should. But there are times when, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I promise the meeting will not be more than 45 minutes. If we need to continue it, we will create another time. Being respectful of people's time, mm-hmm. but also saying, we need your input. You're an important part of this team.
Well, and what you're doing there is you're saying, here's a solution that benefits us both. You want to get back to whatever you've got going on that's important, and we need you here. So let's make this short and efficient. Be here, be present. Let's get it done, and I'll get you back on your way. And that's creating a win-win, where people can say, okay, you care about the fact that I'm on the phone. You're not just saying, people are there, always on your phone. You're saying, hey, I get it. You've got pressures, you've got deadlines, you've got things you need to pay attention to, and we need you here as well. So we'll make this efficient, get it done, and you can get back to what you also have that's important.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One other thing is asking for help. Unfortunately, in our society, asking for help is not always applauded. Mm. You don't want to feel stupid. You don't want to feel like you're imposing on someone. But research has shown that when you, in essence, sort of mentor someone or help them with a project, there's a win-win created. They get to share their expertise. You get to learn. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not a bad thing to ask for help, but it's not always shown as that's appreciated and that's important to do. You know, it's like, no, you better know what you're doing. You know, not, oh, crud, they changed the whole software for doing this. You know, I don't know how to do this.
I don't know what to do.
I need help. I can learn.
Yeah.
But I need someone to show me mm-hmm. how to do it. You know?
Yeah. Yep. Well, and again, creating that connection and saying, hey, Mary, I know you're good at this. Do you have 5 minutes to give me a hand? You mm-hmm. know, and being appreciative and being respectful of their time as well. And all of that. But again, creating those connections. I love it. I love it. You can create positive change at work is the book that you, you published with Kimberly Barker. How yes. long has that book been out?
It has been out for a little over a year.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And dynamicconnectionsllc.com is your website. So if anybody's interested in more information about you, about the work you do, and about helping to create those high quality connections to create a place that people want to come to work. Mary, thank you so much for your insights and all your excitement around this topic. I can tell that you love what you do.
I certainly do. And I'm honored that you were willing to have me on your podcast. So thank you, Anne.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I know that this is vital information for everybody to create a workforce or a workplace where it adds to our life rather than takes away years of our life. Well, there you have it. An amazing conversation about creating high quality connections. And it's funny because I always start my leadership and my communication workshops with this basic foundational piece of building important professional relationships. So it's really cool that Mary's working with scientists who, and it blows my mind that these people think this is just for the classroom. I'm like, what good is it if we're not using it, right? So I'm thrilled that Mary's taking all this incredible research and turning it into actionable steps that we can take to create a positive workplace. Because now more than ever, we've got enough stress in our lives. We've got enough discomfort. If we can create a workplace that we want to go to, where we feel valued, where we feel like we've got people who, again, value and respect us as people, not just as worker bees, the world's gonna be a better place. As I always say, like, people are gonna be nicer at the grocery store and all of that stuff. So if you're interested, dynamicconnectionsllc.com is Mary's website. She's got the book, but she's also got, and I was looking at this, she's got some high quality connection cards. So if you're not a book person, you know, obviously you're listening to the podcast, maybe you're like, let's sit down, get a book. She's got these like cards, almost like playing cards that have the science of some of these ways to create connections, ways to tame toxicity in the workplace, the science on one side, and then the actual actionable steps on the other side. So these are quick, easy ways to get specific actions you can take to create a positive workforce. So whether you're a manager or not, this is super valuable stuff to create positive relationships with people so they feel good about what they do. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We've got more great content coming to you next week here on Dancing in the Discomfort Zone podcast. So make sure you do that subscribing thing. Join us on Facebook. Join us on Instagram. Join us on LinkedIn. And I look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks for listening.